In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The events of the last few weeks have hit us so hard, in part because, I think, we haven't really had to consider our real needs before. Now, to be sure, there are many who did and still do wake up every morning facing them. How can I pay the rent? What will I feed my children? Will I be alive in a month? But for most of us, there was still money in the savings account, food in the refrigerator, a clean bill of health from the doctor. But now we have all been brought face to face with real needs, needs that weren't all that apparent a month ago. I can't go to work for who knows how long. How much longer can I survive off of what I've saved? There's still no milk or eggs at the grocery store. What happens if we're all locked down in our homes? What happens if I start to feel a cough or sore throat coming on? Is there any treatment available to help me? This virus and the subsequent response have reminded us of our mortality. Not simply that we all will die someday, but also that we have needs in order to live. In our Old Testament lesson today, the children of Israel were likewise brought face to face with their real need. Of course, they had been in great need before. They were in bondage to Pharaoh and all Egypt, groaning because of their slavery, crying out for help and rescue. But God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the suffering of his people, Israel, and God knew. So God sent his servant Moses to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Egyptians and to lead them to a land flowing with milk and honey. He did just that through signs and wonders, culminating with the parting of the Red Sea and the deliverance of Israel from the Egyptian army. And immediately thereafter, when they went 3 days in the wilderness and found only bitter water to drink, God miraculously made that water sweet, so that the people might drink. But even after God had done all that, after he had delivered them from slavery and quenched their thirst in the wilderness, the children of Israel grumbled because of their need, saying, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Now, that's not to imply that they didn't need food. They most certainly did. But having come through the Red Sea on dry ground, freed from bondage to Pharaoh and all Egypt, graciously given water in the desert, you'd think that the Israelites would have been a little bit more patient and certainly more humble in making their need for food known to Moses and Aaron. And God's response was swift. He said, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." You see, God not only knew their need, he met it, and he satisfied it. Certainly God had no reason to. In fact, we might say that God had good reason not to do this. For their grumbling, for their lack of trust, not to mention their short memories of the Lord's provision, the people of Israel deserved only rebuke, God's wrath, and judgment. But the Lord, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, abundantly met and satisfied his people's need. Again, the scriptures say, "In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. Whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat." According to our gospel lesson this morning, the Lord provided for his people in a similar way many years later, as he was teaching on the mountain. In this instance, there was no grumbling from the people, at least not out loud. But again, they had a very real need, a need that the Lord met. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread, so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. And what he did was take the 5 barley loaves from the boy, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the 2 fish from the boy, as much as they wanted. And as he provided in the wilderness for the people of Israel, so also the Lord Jesus provided on the mountain to the large crowd, abundantly satisfying their need, so that everyone ate their fill. And there still remained 12 baskets filled with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. Yes, the Lord God still provides for the needs of all his creatures to this very day. We are reminded in 2 places in Luther's Small Catechism of all that God, our Creator, provides for us. In the explanation to the 1st article of the Creed, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth," and in the explanation to the 4th petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." In these 2 explanations, we are taught that God gives us everything we need. Everything from the food we eat, to the clothes we wear, to the family we love, to the weather we enjoy, to the health we have. All our needs God truly provides for us. And these 2 explanations in the Catechism remind us of 2 very important truths regarding God's provision. First, as we learn in the explanation to the 1st article of the Creed, God richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. As Jesus once multiplied bread for the crowd in such abundance that they all ate their fill and there were still 12 baskets filled with leftovers, so also God richly provides for our bodies and lives. Just take a moment and reflect on all that you have. Do you have a car? Or maybe you have more than one. Do you have a television, a cell phone, a computer? Do you enjoy fresh fruits and vegetables that are grown far from your home? Yes, even these simple things that we take for granted each day are proof of God's abundant provision for you. And second, from the explanation to the 4th petition of the Lord's Prayer, we are reminded that God gives daily bread to everyone, even to all evil people. He gave manna and quail to the grumbling Israelites. He gave bread and fish to his doubting disciples, Philip and Andrew. And he meets all of our needs too, even without our prayers of petition or thanksgiving. In other words, God satisfies our every need with abundance, not because we've earned it or deserved it, but because he is good. Now, just because God satisfies our every need with abundance does not mean that we will never be in material need. Remember, the Israelites were born in slavery. They thirsted in the wilderness and had nothing to eat before God delivered them and provided water and food for them. They were not born with silver spoons in their mouths, never knowing what it was like to go without. Likewise, the crowds that followed Jesus weren't immediately and constantly satisfied. They needed food to sustain them in that desolate place. And in the last couple of weeks, the abundance that we all seemed to take for granted has become less and less certain. Some of you may not have gainful employment any longer. Some of you wonder if you'll be able to find the basic household necessities that were once plentiful. Some of you fear that you or a loved one may soon be gasping for breath without medical aid available. God provides for all of our bodily needs, yes, but there are indeed times where he may withdraw that gracious provision. But be assured of this: God will never withdraw his provision for your greatest need, the most important need that you will ever have on this earth. the forgiveness of your sins, rescue from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. To be sure, this need is not as easily recognized as things like slavery, or thirst, or hunger, or sickness. There are no external signs like chains on your wrist, a parched throat, a rumbling stomach, an empty cupboard, or a rising temperature. And in fact, because they cannot feel or see that need for forgiveness, rescue, and salvation, many tend to view that need as irrelevant, unnecessary. After all, how important can it be if I don't feel it? That's why this, our greatest need for forgiveness, is so often subjected to far lesser needs. That's why the people of Israel, feeling their physical hunger, longed to return to slavery under Pharaoh, undoing everything that the Lord had done for them, from calling Moses to sending the plagues to the parting of the Red Sea, simply in order that they might eat meat and bread to the full. Yes, they were willing to reject the Lord and all the miraculous things he had done. And they were willing to return to slavery in Egypt just to eat. And Jesus, in the gospel lesson, knew full well why the crowd wanted to make him king. He says to them later in the chapter, "You are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." They wanted Jesus to be their king so long as he gave them bread to eat. But in John chapter 6, when Jesus continued and taught them about himself as the bread of life come down from heaven, then, John writes, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." And today, even when illness and death is staring us all, even the whole world, in the face, many are more concerned with their 401ks and their toilet paper supply than possessing the treasures of heaven and being justified in the eyes of God, before whom we all must stand someday. Now, that's not to belittle the needs that you have to support this body and life. Again, God has proven that he cares about such things. But it is to say that our priorities as human beings are often upside down. And too often we seek the things of this life that are quickly taken away more than the things of heaven that endure forever. Nevertheless, as God still provided bread for the grumbling Israelites, God in his goodness continues to supply our need for forgiveness, rescue, and salvation. In fact, this is often why God withdraws his provision of our earthly needs. This is often why God afflicts us, that we might humble ourselves before him, repent of our sins and trespasses, and seek him above all, finding him where he is always found, in his word. There he teaches us what we truly need more than anything else. He shows us our sins and our trespasses according to the Ten Commandments. He reveals to us the death and judgment that we deserve because of them. But there in his word, in the gospel, he also teaches us what he has done to meet that need. On Mount Sinai, the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, "The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." On the other side of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus taught the crowds about himself, saying, "The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Indeed, God satisfied your greatest need of all when he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, unto death on the cross for you. There Christ endured the wrath of God in order that you would be forgiven. There Christ succumbed to death in order that you would be rescued from death and the devil. There Christ was forsaken by his Father in order that you would be saved eternally. On the cross, Jesus Christ won for you, and even for the whole world, what you need above all, because he loves you. And now through his word, God gives you what you need. He gives you forgiveness, rescue, and salvation. Thus the Lord says these words to you today. The Lord God is merciful and gracious to you, forgiving your iniquity and transgression and sin. Jesus gave his sinless flesh and blood unto death on the cross in your place to win life and forgiveness for you. He is the bread of life, so that by faith you may eat of him and not die. He promises to you that if anyone eats of this bread, that is, believes in him, he will live forever. And again, whoever feeds on his flesh and drinks his blood has eternal life, and he will raise you up on the last day. When by faith you hear this word of God and keep it, you are receiving the bread of life for your salvation. And thus by God's grace alone, received by faith alone, your greatest need is met. And still, the same God who provided manna in the wilderness and bread and fish on the mountain knows your needs even in these days of pandemic and self-isolation. Not just your spiritual needs, which he has met, but also your physical needs too. As Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, so he says to you today, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. No, do not be anxious about anything, for your heavenly Father knows all of your needs of body and soul. Trust that according to his good and gracious will, he will provide for you in the way that he knows to be best. After all, Jesus is and ever shall be the bread of life. Whoever comes to him shall not hunger, and whoever believes in him shall not thirst. Yes, everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him has eternal life, and Christ will raise him up on the last day. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.